Welcome to the We Are The Church podcast, hosted by me, Adam, and my beautiful wife, Brianna. Throughout the podcast, you'll hear and experience people's stories of faith in action to encourage, strengthen, and inspire you.
Hear the real-life stories of people from Guymere Baptist Church and our local community. There will be a few laughs, serious chats, and amazing encounters with God through the love and hope of Jesus Christ. We pray that this podcast reaches you on a deep level and encourages you on your own journey of discovery and faith.
Today we've got my beautiful wife Brianna with us.
Hello, so good to be here.
And Dorothy. Hello, Dorothy.
Happy to be here too, Adam.
Yeah, it's nice to see you. And of course, Brianna's going to kick us off with the first question.
Fantastic. Well, Dorothy, you are so welcome here today, and I can't wait to hear some of the amazing stories you have to share with us.
Oh, my goodness.
So, Dorothy and I actually had the pleasure of catching up for a coffee after one of the Women's Embrace morning teas, and we had the most amazing catch-up, didn't we, Dorothy?
We did indeed, yeah.
Yeah, and Dorothy shared just a little tip of the iceberg of some of her walk with God and her life, and I was just so inspired and encouraged, and we actually asked Dorothy if she'd love to come on, and here she is today.
So yeah. Good.
Oh, I hope we can all give God the glory for all that has happened in my life for the benefit of my family and others as well.
Amen. Absolutely. All glory to God indeed.
That's right.
So, Dorothy, could you share a little bit about yourself with us, please?
Okay. Well, I'm old, so how long have you got?
For you, we've got all day.
All good. Yep.
Okay. Well, I was born and brought up on a farm in far northwestern Tasmania. And you won't believe this, my grandkids especially don't, that we didn't have electricity till I was about 8 or 9.
No electricity.
Oh, wow.
So what did you do?
How'd you cook?
We had to have firewood, and we had a wood stove in the kitchen, and we had a thing called a big tub copper in the laundry area, which heated all the water, and that got bucketed into the bath.
Amazing.
Wow.
So that's how old I am.
Yep. And candles, cool. Dinner by candlelight?
Oh, yeah. We must have. Yeah, lamps, kerosene lamps was what we had there, not candles. Yeah. So
yeah, they last a bit longer than the candles, don't they?
and that was all good, though. But, I mean, we just grew up as a family of, well, while we're on the farm, there were a family of 6 of us. And 6 children, that is, and did our chores on the farm and played together. And we often talk about those days now and have a lot of laughs.
Yeah, I bet you got up to a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Of course we did.
A lot of mishaps here there.
And the natural light too, you know, sort of rise with the sun.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Go to bed with
it. Make the most of that sunlight.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Dusk,
Yep.
So to the average Joe out there, what's something that people might not know about you? Why are you an open book? Does everyone know everything about Dorothy?
Oh, well, they know what they've been told. I've been moved around a lot, so it's been different groups of people over my life. But we moved off that farm to a smaller one when I was 15. I had 1 year of high school left. And then after that I went into a nearby town and did my general nursing training.
Nice.
And then worked as a nurse in a smaller hospital for a year. Then I decided I'll do my midwifery as well. So I thought, I'm going to go somewhere else to do that. So I went to Melbourne to do that. And
Capes in the mainland.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
to Melbourne to do that. And I was at a St George's Hospital in Kew, which was a bit of general but mostly maternity hospital. And did my mid training there. And there was a small church. I was brought up in what was then called the Gospel Hall or Open Brethren.
Yeah.
And there was one nearby, so I went to the church there.
Mm-hmm.
Because Melbourne's full of trams, it's good for transport there.
Yeah.
But I think I even walked sometimes. And when I was there, that church, it wasn't all that big, but they were just so hospitable and caring, and I was just nurtured there as well.
That's so good.
Yeah, and then I'm coming to the bit where I met this young man who was from Northern Ireland, and he had met another Northern Irish family who'd brought him along to church. He had been a church attender in Northern Ireland, as most people are.
Yeah.
And and so we met, and it was sort of like we became good friends because we were both strangers in a strange land.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, nice.
Got on well. And the other family that brought him there had some family as well, and so we all got on well together.
Yep.
And sort of a little bit of a romance started there. But
a flicker of flame.
Yeah, just a flicker. And, yep. And then I had in my mind that some stage or other I wanted to go to Bible school.
Oh, wow.
So I still had that in my mind, but I was getting very interested in this young man. And so I thought, nah, I'm going to go and do the Bible study bit.
Yeah.
Good one.
And it gave us a bit longer. But I went to Sydney to do that.
So you were making your way up, so Tasmania to Victoria, up to New South Wales.
That's right.
Step by step.
Yeah, surely.
And so I went to what's the Emmaus Bible School out in – it was in Epping then, and we lived in – so that was good.
Like a boarding kind of style?
Yeah, boarding school.
Okay, yep.
And, nice. Yeah, no, that was really, really good. We had the accommodation, and on a Monday we had the day off, so a few of us had little jobs here and there. I think I was stuffing envelopes for some company.
Yeah,
nice.
So
that's
we
cool.
could earn a little bit of money while we're there.
Yep.
And so I did the 2 years there, but when it was holidays I sort of alternated because I had a married friend in Melbourne who said, if you want to come here for your holidays any time, do that. So some holidays I went home to Tassie and sometimes holidays I went to Melbourne and sort of saw Jim while I was there.
Yeah.
And
and Jim was the young gentleman you'd met.
Yes. And that friendship and romance developed, and so we were actually engaged when I was halfway through Bible school. And
cool.
Then at the end of it, and that was the end of 1966, we got married.
Oh, how lovely.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So you got married in Tasmania, did you say?
We got married in Tasmania because that's where my family were.
Yeah.
But then we lived in Melbourne for quite a while, and then we thought we're never, ever going to get afford a house here. So.
Oh, so many people feel the same now, right?
So we took off back to Tasmania where we did buy a house and worked there. And then the call started to come for Africa.
Africa?
Oh, Africa.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. So the call is in?
Just.
The mission call?
Yeah, mission call. And then there was this group called Gospel Literature Outreach, and they're still going. They're out at Riverstone, their main base.
Yeah.
And so what happened there was they sent teams to different places and so we went, ended up going with a team of three married couples and one single lady. And
all different ages?
We're around about the same age, you know, sort of
newlyweds,
20s,
kind of.
Into our 20s. Late 20s, actually.
Yeah.
Okay.
We ended up, we hadn't met each other. One couple was from Western Australia, one from New Zealand, and one, the single lady, was from Victoria.
Oh, wow. So you were all from different places.
Different backgrounds, yeah.
And,
cool.
Now, when I look back at that thing, I think, good grief, couldn't we have had some time to get to know each other? But we did actually, because we went by ship.
Oh, there you go.
And so we had 2 weeks on board ship to get to know each other, got together every day.
Yeah, that would have been nice.
Got to each other.
Have some fellowship, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So before all that, though, I had a little baby.
Oh, how lovely.
Right, cool.
My daughter, Jackie, she was born in Devonport in Tassie. And
shout out to Jackie.
Did Bubs come with you?
Yeah, she came with us.
On the trip, cool.
Yeah, because it was supposed to be, it was The trip was for 2.5 years.
Yep.
That was the original plan.
So it is. Yeah. It was quite a big decision then.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And a commitment, 2.5 years to change things up. That's right. To go and serve God overseas. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was. So we sailed into Durban in South Africa, and we spent a few days there, and then we got a train that took us all the way up to Victoria Falls. That was then we still had Southern Rhodesia was still that, and Zambia had had its independence, that used to be Northern Rhodesia, for 6 years by then.
Okay, still not long though, really, is it?
And so then, and in the meantime, the GLO people had been in touch with a church and some Christians in Lusaka, the capital city of Zambia.
Mm-hmm.
And so they came down by a couple of cars, came for us down to Victoria Falls. That's where the train line stopped, and took us up to Lusaka. I'm bothered if I can remember how our luggage got there.
But it did arrive.
It was there, but maybe they had a trailer or something. I can't remember.
Yep.
But we didn't even know where we were going to live, but we knew it was being organised.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
There'll be somewhere for you to live when you come.
Yeah.
And on the way up, we were in these two different cars, and we got out for a couple of stops on the way, and then we started to figure out we're not living separately. We're all going to be living in the same place.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
A bit nervous about that.
All in the one.
Especially when we'd only known these people for a couple of weeks. On
yeah,
the
it's
over.
A pretty big thing, isn't it?
And anyway, we did it. We got there, and there was this quite big house, and we got dropped off there. The lady, the wife of the man who'd sort of organised it all,
mm-hmm.
had got a lot of stuff ready for us there, and we went to their place for dinner, and we got, you know, welcome. And then we looked around this place, and when we went in the front door, though, there was a sort of a draftsman on a little sort of closed-in veranda
mm-hmm.
mm.
there. And then they said, "Oh, that bedroom there won't be for you. That's for a man who also lives here."
Huh? Okay.
So it was all right. Okay, and. So it was getting more complicated by the minute.
Yeah.
And anyway, we ended up settling there, staying there. But the next morning, my husband Jim was in the bathroom, and he got a knock on the door to say, "I have to go to work. Could you please get out of there?"
was it just one bathroom between everybody?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
And there was a wing off to the side.
Yep.
And we discovered that a man and his daughter lived in there. So there were three other people besides us.
Everybody was in.
We're all
a big
in there.
Communal house.
Oh, so we had to take a lot of deep breaths.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lovely community though, right? Yeah. I bet there was some really special relationships that formed there.
Not so much with us there was, but not so much with the others because they were out of work and didn't sort of really have any. But except we had to share the dining room with the man. The ones on the side, they lived on that side,
mm-hmm.
Except to use the bathroom,
mm-hmm.
and they cooked and ate in their area.
Yeah,
but we just had one kitchen, and the other guy's servant cooked his meals, and I cooked ours because I had the child. And I sort of could do a few bits there and a few bits there, and look after her as well.
That's nice.
That's cool.
But the guy at the front though, he used to use the dining room, so we had to either eat in the office or wait till he'd finished before we could use it.
Oh, wow.
Oh, dear. So we learned a lot then. We did learn a lot about living differently and, you know, instead of as a family which was what we were expecting when we went there.
Yeah. Bigger than just sort of your immediate family, you know, if anything, it was like a big community
family.
It was
a community family.
Yeah. And I bet you had some amazing conversations over that shared dining table.
Oh, yeah, we did.
Yeah, it would have been amazing.
Stories of God and stories of your experiences.
Mm.
Yep. It was good. Yeah, so then after I better get on to actually what we did while we were living there, hadn't I?
So what did you do?
So once you'd settled in.
Doing our knitting.
Yeah.
Once we settled in, well, we had – we'd had already all the this literature had gospel literature had been sent there. There was a man down in what was then Southern Rhodesia who did gather a lot of that sort of stuff together, and he had had a lot, and we needed heaps because what we did was make up these little packs of little gospel tracts, and in within that we'd have, I think there might have been, because I should say English was the main language.
It was the national
language and the main language in Lusaka, the capital city.
I was wondering, did you have to have other translations?
Yeah, we ended up getting more translations for the packs, you know, different packs.
Yeah. Mm.
But, yeah, so, yeah, but English being the main language was very helpful.
Yeah.
So we did out these packs, and then the guys, the three guys, would go out and distribute this literature around outside factories when they were knocking off or anywhere where there were people, markets or anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And in it we had a little form that they could fill in and send to us, offering them a Bible course, really basics with the gospel and all in it.
Oh, wow.
And then they could also ask questions. So that just took off. Unbelievable.
Fantastic. Because was that part, was God known in that area? Like, was the Christian faith there? There was
one quite big English speaking and mostly expatriates that were in that one.
Yeah.
And some Africans as well.
Yeah.
And then there were a few other languages in a couple of pockets around the place as well. And when we first went, we went to that, to the English, one that was mostly English, and we went there.
Yeah.
And then sort of developed from there. Yeah, so the guys went out and did that, so we got a huge response, overwhelming response to get out these packs and get out the courses to the people.
Fantastic.
And when they came back to be marked. And
so good.
And further encouragement to make them. And my main job was answering the questions that they sent in.
Yep.
And, cool.
And so, they were really, really honest, good questions,
Yep.
About God and life.
About God and life. And, they were really – so that was very, very encouraging. Overwhelmingly encouraging.
It sounds like it was such a big uptake. Yeah, obviously, God was working right there in that community. Mm. Yep.
And then the guys a couple of times went up to what's called the copper belt, because that was the main income of Zambia was copper mining.
Okay.
And so they did some up there, and then they met up with some other Christians up there who sort of took over what we did in the office, they did in the office up there. And that was a lot of that was in the Bemba language. It spread and spread really overwhelmingly quickly.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So
people were curious. Mm, yeah.
Yep.
I might pause you there, Dorothy.
Just pause me there
I was actually having a thought earlier on. You mentioned that in your early years, you were going to an open Brethren church. Yeah. So how would that differ, or what were some of the similarities of, either being a Baptist or maybe some other denominations? Like
very, very close to Baptists.
Yeah.
It's almost identical.
Yeah.
Mm. Except back in those days, we often didn't have paid pastors. You just have somebody in the church who did, or hardly ever had paid pastors.
Yeah.
That's grown differently since. But just somebody, gifted person within the church would do most of the pastor's work.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
They had elders and deacons and very, very similar to the Baptist church. I would hardly know the difference.
Yeah. And similar in terms of the Bible all of that. And
yeah, that's awesome.
Very much the same.
I'm often curious to understand different denominations, different people's experiences.
Yeah, it's interesting to see the difference between what they might practice compared to what Baptists or other Christian denominations practice. It's good to hear the differences, did you grow up a Christian, or were you a Christian as a teenager?
Yeah, I should have told you a bit about that further, but we can go back there.
Absolutely.
Because as I said, we said the bit about the electricity, but neither did we have a car.
And horse and cart?
Horse and cart, you got it.
Yes.
Cool.
And I just love thinking about those days.
Yeah.
We take off, and it was probably about 6 miles or something to the church in the horse and cart. So we had to get up and get those cows milked early and take off to church. And yeah. Very early on in my life, it was even harder when we had actually part of the church sometimes was in our house.
Oh, wow.
Then once we moved into to a different place when we were going to school, so I'll sort of stay there. But we went, got on in the cart, and that's where my dad came into my spiritual life. We would sing. Most of the time going to church, we would sing, all of us together. And I don't know what all the people along the road, as we passed other farms.
They probably loved it.
Oh, yeah, they come again.
Yeah, here's these Christians.
They come again. But then usually on the way home, because we'd have church in the morning, and then we'd all take packed lunch to the church.
Yeah.
And we'd have the church service, and then we'd have lunch and Sunday school in the afternoon. So even the kids were in church, and then we had Sunday school in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
We all got scripture verses to remember for next week. This is what you've got to come up with next week.
Yeah.
So on the way home, Dad would say, "Right, start on your verses," and we'd be doing that. But the other thing that he did was give us Bible quizzes.
Ah.
And a lot of basic stuff, the stories and things like that, we got from Dad asking us questions, and then if we didn't know, he'd tell us. Yeah, I can still remember things that, you know, that's where I learned them.
Oh, wow. That's so good. That's amazing, learning from a quiz as a kid about the Bible. That's really cool. It's like a formative years learning. That's impressive. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
It's a long time.
You know, he did his job there.
Yeah.
But in a fun kind of way. It wasn't as though he was preaching to us all the way home or whatever, all the way there. It was all good, but we all learned a lot from that.
Yeah. It sounds like your dad was, you know, a big part of being your foundation as a, your walk with God and even that educational piece. You know, I can't help but think maybe those early days getting quizzed kept your curiosity up to later want to go and do Bible study and learn, all part of that. So
when I reached the age of 10, I got, you know, was really thinking about, you know, I knew about Jesus and I knew what he had done, but I hadn't actually personally accepted him. Mm. So I did. At 10, I accepted the Lord Jesus as my Saviour.
That's beautiful.
It was lovely, and I can sort of see my dad now when that happened. And then when I was 12, I was baptised then.
Oh, wonderful. Lovely.
Yeah, so
it's amazing, isn't it? You know, a lot of people we get to talk with, and I'm sure you've had similar conversations with people, and it doesn't matter where you are in life, that moment where you just knew, and that starting point and that special feeling, it never quite leaves you. Mm. You know, it always comes back to being part of that anchoring in your life, doesn't it?
So where can we go back to? Zambia now, probably.
Yeah, I think it'd be great to look back around.
Let's have a listen.
There's a lot that, as you'll find when you read the stories, that was very, very different, and some very difficult times, scary times.
Yes.
And, I should first of all, when we'd been there 15 months, the owner of the property came in one day and said, I need to use this house for somebody else or something else. You've got a month to stay here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
And it was because the team was there for 2.5 years.
Mm. So you're only about halfway through.
So, almost exactly halfway through.
Mm.
And so the single lady got accommodation with another lady from another mission who lived in a little tiny place on the same property. And that property actually was right on the edge of the Lusaka CBD, you know, so you could go downtown if you wanted to.
Okay.
And I'm bothered if I can think whether – oh, the New Zealand couple had already, sadly, decided it wasn't for them and they had gone home.
Yeah. All right.
And then the other Australian couple – I'm bothered if I can remember where they got accommodation. Now it's just gone from me.
But they stayed on as well.
They stayed on until the 2.5 years were up. But then we heard from another mission about a house that they had on a property which was 11 miles out of the city. And so we went, the two couples went out there to look at that. And the other couple said, not for us. And we looked at each other and said, we'll have this one because it wasn't all that much of a house and had quite a few problems, but we just felt this is a spot, you know.
Yeah, cool.
And it was tarred road until the last couple of miles, and that was dirt road, mud road, whatever road.
Could you call it a road?
Loose non-metal road.
And then there was a little lane going off that, and then off that we came to this sign on a 44-gallon drum that said Pin's End.
All right.
And we wondered why it was called Pin's End, but we found out from the other mission that there was this guy who used to argue how many angels you could fit on a Pin's End. So that's what they called the property that he moved into.
Wow.
Just was a joke. That was, but we left that there. But that holds us a very special place in my heart. It was good to be on our own as a little family because Jackie there.
Yeah,
and, of course.
As well, that was good. But the walls didn't quite meet the roof, and you get creatures walking around those in the night and sort of things. And
but you had some good times there too.
Oh, we did. And, it was fantastic because we had I'll have to move back from there a bit. We still could travel into town to do the work and I could still do all that replying and all the questions, answering and marking all from out there as well. So that was fine. So it was fine as far as our work went. And then when it came time for the other couple, you know, that 2.5 years was up.
Yeah.
We had been going to sometimes to a little Chinyanja speaking church and had an interpreter for Jim if he was preaching at it. Mm-hmm. And then from that we used the school, which we could start a little English-speaking church in.
Oh, wow. So you guys started up a church.
We started off a little church.
Yes. Oh,
that's amazing.
In the school in a suburb of Lusaka. And that was good. There were 13 of us on the first day, including Jim and I, not counting Jackie. And then we managed to have a little bit of a Sunday school in there as well. And then in addition to that, Jim got work teaching religious education in the high school there in that same suburb. And then not long after that, the people that owned the mission that owned the house that we were in needed it for another missionary. So we had to pray about getting a house, and we thought we would really need one in that area where we've got the little church starting and all that.
Yep.
So we did. We got this place, which is in much better condition and didn't have as many bugs and snakes. And although there's still a few episodes there. I could go on for a long time about that one. And so we got this place there, and then I can't remember the time lapse here, but the church in the school was growing and growing, and we thought we needed to build a building. So there was a big plot of land just from into the car park away from where we were living.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool.
And so we managed to get that. And in the meantime, we were in contact with back here. And whenever we had a need like that that we wanted to expand or do, it happened. The Lord just supplied it through
people. Oh, back isn't that here. Amazing? Yeah. So back here, they supply the finances for it. And
yeah.
Oh, I love it how Christians just band together and help out the missionaries. Yeah. And like, you hear it here, you know, when we have Mission Month, May Mission Month, like, you know, they say, oh, we've got a target for yada yada. I won't say the amount, but like the amount comes up and then we always smash every the target. Time, like every time the target gets smashed. I can imagine that's back when you were doing your missionary work. Yeah. That's what happened. They would do some kind of, you know, call out to everyone, hey, we've got something going on over in Africa and we need it done. And people just, here we go, guys. Here's some money.
And it's kind of like we're doing the sermon series at the moment called The Courageous Life.
Yeah.
And it's just trusting and relying and drawing on God and taking that step and then letting, you know, just knowing that God's going to use it for his glory in That's some right. way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you just need to courageously take that step.
Yeah.
And he provides.
He does.
Every time, everything that we needed just came. Sometimes just – it was just amazing. I could tell you, I don't know how we're going for time, but so we did get a building started there, and we got the people themselves to help out us with labouring and doing things like that. And we got the building up, and then we thought, right, we've got to furnish this now. So what we suggested to the people. Now, some of those would have been working and earning a reasonable amount of money. Some weren't.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
But we just suggested that each family, they had to all be the same. It was chairs, not pews.
Yeah.
Could they all try as families to get their own amount of chairs that they needed?
Oh, yeah. Good idea.
And we didn't get it all that way, but we got quite a few of them that way.
Yeah.
And then, you know, tried to get people to there were a few other little bits and pieces that we needed, things like that. But I used to have some of the girls, teenage girls, used to come over and we'd make popcorn or biscuits and things like that that they would take to school and sell.
Yeah.
And they were raising that for their own efforts to put into the
to the building. So
had a lot of fun doing that.
Yeah,
too.
Nice.
Yeah.
And so that sort of grew on and we eventually moved into it, and we had advertised around the place that we were having a Sunday school.
Yeah.
And because that's the first time we'd been able to do that, because we couldn't do it in the school.
Mm-hmm.
And just take a guess at how many turned up on the first day.
Oh, I reckon at least double digits.
I reckon maybe. Triple digits, maybe four digits.
Oh, I reckon this is kids of all ages, maybe 30?
100.
100, Adam was right, triple digits.
There you go, wonderful. Fantastic. So the word got round then.
It was just amazing.
That's overwhelming, isn't it?
It was just.
What a response.
In fact, it was just about terrifying.
Yeah.
When they all turned up.
Where did you fit all the kids?
we had a big building.
Yeah.
There was room.
And one lady who spoke English and Shinyanja very well, she took all the little kids who didn't know English, because once they went to school they knew English, but before they went to school.
Yep, they just spoke their native dialect. Yep.
Local dialect.
Yep.
And,
yeah, sure.
So she took all them, and she was good. And then we just divide them up in ages, and we did a lot of stuff together, of course.
Singing
and stuff like that. But
how wonderful. Oh, glory to God, hey?
Yeah, that's just wonderful. That's really cool.
I can still remember standing on the doorstep of the place on the first day.
And in they came and came and more came in. How that's wonderful.
Great. Yeah, that's so that good. Was simply great, yeah. So
and then, of course, their families – you know, their parents and things like that, do they become part of the church and you get to share God with them?
And not all of them, but some of them, yes, definitely. Oh. And the church grew.
The church grew,
And it's still there. And, you know, some of the – there's still one man that I'm in touch with still was there as a young man when we left, and he's still there looking after that.
Oh, how amazing is
that's
that?
Awesome.
But it's going well. I don't hear from him often, but he now it's just unbelievable because he emails me and I email him. But before that, you know, when we came home, it was emails, you know.
Yeah, a letter, and then you have to wait for it to come.
And he has to receive your one.
Yeah. So that's
a lot quicker these days, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, but, how lovely.
And not at any time while we were there did we have a phone.
Yeah.
Mm.
At all.
Oh,
not
right.
at any time.
Been, yeah.
So even sending letters, you know, to correspond back here, it was all by email.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Those aerograms and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Could you do telegrams in those days, or was that not a thing anymore?
I don't think we I would have been a thing still, but I don't think we did it.
Okay.
No.
So it was all via the mail.
Yeah.
Thank God for Australia Post.
Yeah. How amazing.
Yeah, and telephones, because we could have used the telephones a few times when we had problems.
Yeah, of course.
But we had to.
That's where prayer comes in, I guess. Pray, come on, God, help us out in this sticky situation, please.
And community too, you know, the importance of looking out for each other and knowing, you know, people need help or whatever, you know, you got community.
Well, thankfully, the Lord knew we wanted help a lot. that we could have used the phone.
Yeah.
But can I tell you one of those instances?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, sure.
This was at a time when the finances of the Zambia as a country was rather difficult. Mm-hmm. And so they were trying to think up all ways they could make money off people. So that day we had actually managed to have two vehicles by that time. And
how old was your daughter by then?
Oh, she's by the time we moved into town, she must have been 4 or 5.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, we had another baby,
another little one.
I'll tell you that story. this one about the phones. I'll tell you first.
Yeah.
I had a lady in Lilanda where we lived, and she didn't live there. She was just visiting. So I took her home, and Jim had the other car somewhere else, which I can't remember. And the two children were at another person's place. They were actually the wife was South African and he was from Northern Ireland as well.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And they lived quite a distance from us, but the two children were there.
Yeah.
I took this lady home, and on the way back, the police stopped me.
Ooh.
Oh.
And
were you speeding?
No. the police stopped me.
Give Dorothy some credit.
they stopped me, and they were looking for defects in cars so they could fine you. A great big policeman came along and told me to stop the car and then take off the handbrake, and he pushed the car. He managed to – no, put the handbrake on.
Oh, to see if he could push it.
Yeah, and then to see if he could push it, and he could a bit.
Oh, okay.
And so I had to then turn around and wait in this great big queue of cars they had and go into the city to the police station and leave the car and go home and come back the next day with a written appointment from a garage that they would
fix. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wow.
So I thought.
And meanwhile, you had people waiting at the other end for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I didn't have a phone. This is one time when I badly needed a phone. But while I was waiting in that queue to go into, because they just held us up there for goodness knows how long, and I saw this other couple that I knew go through the other way, and I knew that they saw me. And so I thought, I just prayed, oh, please, God, would they go and tell Jim? You know, would they just go and tell Jim that what's happening to me?
Yeah.
So I went into the police station, got the paperwork and all that, and took bits of, I had picked up a bit of groceries on the way. So I took those, and I was just about to leave, and I heard somebody call my name, and I looked, and that couple had come right back into town
yeah.
to pick me up and take me home.
Oh, bless. Oh,
bless.
Oof. Yeah, God is good, huh?
Getting a bit teary because of that story. Oh, that's lovely.
we had heaps and heaps of rescues. But yeah. that one, I just could not believe that they, because they were, it was going to take them ages to get in and out.
Mm.
And I hadn't been able to let Jim know, and we hadn't been able to let the people who had the kids know.
Yeah.
And,
God always knows and provides, doesn't
when
he?
When I got home, the lady who had the kids was just bringing them over because she wondered why I hadn't gone to get them. And Jim was out looking for me.
Oh, no.
So it all happened.
Because he probably was going up and down the road that you would have been travelling on, thinking, oh, what's happened to the car?
Yeah.
So it had a happy ending, but, you know, but there's loads of times when the Lord just stepped in with a rescue.
Yeah. And community. There's a lot to be said for communities. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Dorothy, what an amazing season in your life where you saw God at work with you and your husband and your children and the community around you. You know, what did that mean for you in that particular point?
I think it showed me how much we can depend on the Lord for everything. We don't have to, and I'm not saying I don't fret over anything, because I do, but when I go back to remember things throughout my life, I can just tell everybody that he is a good, good father, as we sing so often.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's who he is. And how much he cares for us, and I know that he can do that for others as well, and does. That was sort of made me, those experiences in Africa, and even from growing up, I can look back and be thankful for what my dad did for us, and then how God, our Father, or my Father, has taken care of me as well over the many years of my life.
Yeah, amazing. And then from there, you know, you've moved around a little bit more and obviously ended up back in Australia and brought you to Gaimi Baptist Church. You know, and a little bit earlier we were talking about the importance of community.
Yeah.
So, you know, at Gaimi Baptist Church and community here, what does that look like for you now at this season of your life?
Yeah, it's when I first came to Gaimi Baptist, which is just almost exactly 10 years ago.
Decade, nice.
Yeah. I was involved, I've been involved in a few things. I helped out with playtime for a few years. But then the community in which I live, I found I had too much helping out neighbours there, which I thought was very important. I had to make some decisions there, because I remember one day I was actually stopped at a traffic light, and it just came to me that my main reason for moving up here was for my kids, because that's another story how we ended up here.
That's okay.
That's for another day.
That I moved up to be nearer to them because my husband had passed away, and I didn't want them worrying about me on my own in Victoria at that stage. And so I thought I'd come up here, and then that was my main reason for coming. And then because I was in, as you just saw when you picked me up today, the neighbourhood that I live in, it's a lot of units and a lot of people.
Sure.
But there was one stage there when I was doing a lot of caring for people there, two or three of them in particular, with transport and care and different things, company. And so I felt that God had put me in that neighbourhood, and that should come number two, and then number three, church.
Yeah.
Which sounded a bit not nice, but it was just the order that the Lord gave me then. But I did, as I said, do play time for a while, and for a few years, and because I got so much busy at my neighbourhood, I had to stop that because I just couldn't do both. And then Otherwise, were you here when they had the Winterfest things with the kids in the school holidays?
No, I think that was a bit before our time.
Yeah, it probably was because we haven't done it since before COVID. Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. But that was in the July school holidays.
Okay.
And, that was just a really fantastic time. Kids came from everywhere to that. So I used to do – I had a lot of things to do, preparing stuff, crafts and stuff, and then looking after little groups.
Yeah.
At that, and I loved that. I was sorry I'd ever stopped.
You never know. It might come back around.
It might come back. Yeah. You just had the disowment process, so there might be something that's coming back out of the woodwork.
Yeah, so and there's a few other bits and pieces around. I'm in a life group as well.
Yeah.
Which we get, well together and have a lovely time of fellowship together.
Fantastic.
So I've sort of done a bit less in the church in later years, but I find that this is my church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's lovely. Mm-hmm. And, God calls us for all different seasons to serve in many different ways.
That's
so,
exactly right.
God's using you at the moment to serve your local community that you live in, and that is just as powerful and important, to provide that care and support for your local community that you live in and actively participate here at Gaimia Baptist Church as well, which is really lovely.
That's right. And for yourself, Dorothy, how are you following Jesus now? Without the community stuff, but what do you do day to day?
Well, I get up in the morning and when I go for my walk, I walk and talk.
Oh, right. The Lord. Pray.
Yeah. Walk and pray. Different things come to me at different parts of my walk. I might even meet somebody that I haven't seen for a while, like a neighbour up the street or something, have a chat, that kind of thing. But I do have my more sort of formal quiet time as well in the mornings. And, I find that that's another big thing, that as I've got older and less physically active around in church and doing things like that, that prayer is a big part of my life. I have my book where I have every day of the week, I have a list, and some of them have the same things on and others have different things on different days.
Oh, that's great.
I have to be organised or it doesn't happen.
We'll go to the club. We all have to be organised these days, don't we? Yeah. So much going on.
And it's so much easier for me to have prayer times because I'm not rushing out the door to work and that sort of thing.
Yeah, prayer is very powerful.
It is, yeah.
That really helps be the backbone of everything that we do is our prayer time with God. Mm. And that's a really great tip, and if people are listening in and wondering, how or where do I even start, what would be a tip on how could they pray or what would that look like, and you shared a little bit how in the mornings when you're walking you just talk.
Yeah.
Just have a chat with God.
Yeah, just whatever's happening, that's a sort of more informal conversation with God than the times that when I have out my book and I have different things on different days and and family members and like my own siblings in Tasmania and their families are on as through the week on the different days and different missionaries and people in my life group on different days and so I'm a very listy person.
Oh, that's
but
good
I don't
to
keep
have.
Organized if I don't have my list.
Fantastic. Well, Dorothy, thank you so much for sharing today, and you've been such an encouragement, and that just that one season in Africa, is such an inspiration where God came through and you just faithfully and courageously took the step as a young family to move to a foreign country and serve God and serve him well. And, he was in it and through it and for it. And, it sounds like so many people's lives were changed. By just taking that one courageous step.
Ours too.
And your life as well.
That's right.
Yeah. So thank you so much for sharing. Thank you for being on the We Are the Church podcast.
And we'll see you around GBC. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the We Are the Church podcast. We hope this inspired and encouraged you on your own journey of discovery and faith. If you or anyone you know has a faith story to share, please get in touch with us.
You can reach us at office@guymebaptist.org.au. Also, if you would like to know more about Jesus, pray with someone, or come along to Guymere Baptist Church, please check out the Guymere Baptist Church website at guymerebaptist.org.au.
Until next time, I'm Adam.
And this is Brianna saying, God bless and peace be with you.